fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Your friends don't play fantasy? LOL. What a bunch of nerds.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Eve.
All right, welcome to Fantasy Football Today. Jeremy Maclin cut. Dennis Pitta injured. Mike Williams injured. Detroit's schedule is brutal. And we've got plenty of your questions at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Adam Azer here. Hello, Dave Richard.
What's going on, Adam? Scott Azer? Isn't your middle name Scott?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, Scott Azer. What's your new name?
You know, I'm going to make you a little jealous, Dave. You know what I have next Friday?
A pedicure?
Pizza.
Food tasting for the wedding.
I had a food tasting for the bar mitzvah.
Ooh.
This past weekend. It was lovely.
Yeah. Heath, any food tasting for you?
No food tasting. I was a little grumpy right before the podcast. It's been raining here for like 6 weeks, it seems like. And there's no way to get into our building without walking through a river. And I walked through a river coming back from lunch. My shoes just completely drenched. My feet were getting all soggy and I was getting grumpy. So I just took my shoes off. I got my socks off, sitting here barefoot.
And I'm sitting next to him.
And I feel much better.
Yeah, Heath is partially nude,
and it's
almost like we've got a moat around our Castle Grayskull of an office.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm not there for that. So weather sucks in New York, too, by the way. But all right, we're going to start out with some buy or sell, and then we've done sleeper alert, we've done breakout alert. The last two sleeper breakout alerts have been about the Browns for some reason, so this time we're going to do a bust alert, and it's going to be about one of the best offenses in football. But real quick, buy or sell, Tyreek Hill is a top 20 wide receiver now.
I don't have him in my top 20, but I almost have him in my top 24. It's going to be hard for him to break into the top 24, but with Jeremy Maclin gone, this is your clear leader in targets in Kansas City among wide receivers.
Right.
Not including tight ends. See how I circumvented that a little bit? But I'm liking Tyreek Hill more and more. I do not like Kansas City's schedule. We weren't going to go there with Kansas City's schedule, but I've actually had a hard time trying to figure out who I like the best in the AFC West this year.
Yeah, I can't move him into my top 20. And I really think the only way you can is if you expect him to duplicate what he did in the return game last year in terms of touchdowns. I would expect he has a little touchdown regression coming, which may just mean he scores the same number of touchdowns offensively and doesn't score quite as many times in the return game.
I'm not even thinking about the return game because I don't know how many leagues count those touchdowns.
Most count the touchdowns, right? Just not the yards?
One of the leagues that I'm in does, but a bunch of them don't. They give those touchdowns
rules
to the Chiefs DST.
Bad rules.
Well, but if
I've
got Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs DST on my team, do I get double credit?
If you've got Alex Smith and Tyreek Hill, do you get double credit for a receipt?
No, it's two different players scoring the touchdown. It's completely different.
No, how is it completely different? Two players get 6 points for a touchdown.
But because the DST got the touchdown because of that player. Like, he scored it. He did it.
I'll guarantee you, if Alex Smith threw the touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, he's getting the touchdown because of Tyreek Hill.
that's a good point, but no, I don't think it's the same thing. But Heath is on.
No, there is no way you should be having a player on your team that scores a touchdown in a game that you don't get fantasy points for.
I disagree, but okay. But Heath has crazy, well, I guess maybe I'm crazy.
Put a Twitter poll up.
Fine. Heath has fairly radical opinions about kickers and DSTs to begin with, but
I don't think kicker opinions are radical.
No, I don't know if they're radical, but they're different. They're
pretty rad if you ask me.
All right, so we're selling Tyreek Hill as a top 20 wide receiver. Buy or sell part two. Rob Gronkowski is in his own tier at tight end. And now, so is Travis Kelce.
Selling that as well. Kelce is number two for me at tight end,
but are they in the same tier?
No, Gronk's in his own tier.
Yes.
I'm just saying Kelsey's not.
I agree.
Greg Olsen and Jordan Reed are both in Kelce's tier. They're below him, but they're still in his tier, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Who benefits the most from Maclin being cut and the Chiefs saving $10 million. And let me just put something in perspective for everybody. Andy Reid's been there with Alex Smith for four seasons now. And in those four seasons, they have finished in passing yards per game. They finished 24th, 29th, 29th. And last year was the best, 19th. in pass attempts per game. They finished 20th, 28th, 30th, and 25th. So, you know, it's still like being a number one receiver for Alex Smith. I don't think he had produced a 1,000-yard receiver in his career until Macklin in 2015 and then Kelsey in 2016. So let's give him a little bit of credit. It's 2 years in a row the Chiefs have had a 1,000-yard receiver. But who benefits more, do you think, Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelsey?
I'd venture to say that Hill will benefit more.
I'm going to say as a percentage of their workload increase, I would say Conley. I think it's a small bump to Hill, a small bump to Kelsey. And then I'm expecting...
Are you sure Conley's that guy?
No, it might be Albert Wilson. It might be DeMarcus Robinson. But my initial money would be on Conley.
Okay. I also think this will end up helping Jeremy Maclin. There's talk his first stop on the free agent tour is going to be Buffalo.
I think he's already visited them.
Fantastic landing spot for him. And he'll play every down. I think I like him better in Buffalo than I do in Baltimore. Believe it or not, I think he'd be just that good possession receiver and an upgrade off of Robert Woods, even at this stage in his career.
Okay, great. Well, we'll see where he ends up. Can I ask you, is this the proper way to phrase the Twitter poll? If your wide receiver scores a punt return or kickoff return touchdown, should you get fantasy points for it?
That's a perfect way to phrase it, I think, Adam. That's one of your best phrase polls ever.
You've finally done something right,
Thank
Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, how about doing something wrong? Would drafting Davante Adams in the late second, early third round, or maybe even middle of the third round in a 12-team league, let's say somewhere around 30th overall, be a mistake? Here's our email of the day from Andrew at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Dave, where's Andrew from? I forget.
Pittsburgh.
He's from Pittsburgh, and his email of the day is our bust alert.
By Pittsburgh?
Come, you can do better than Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Kansas? Have you ever been there? It's a beautiful place.
No, I've never been there. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you meant Pittsburgh, Kansas. My bad. Andrew says, 2 years ago, I excitedly overdrafted Davante Adams when Jordy went down for the season, only to watch Adams make drop after terrible drop. Now he's being drafted in the third round. Is Davante Adams real or just the next 2012 James Jones or 2014 Randall Cobb?
He's real. He is definitely a person. And
well, thanks for clearing that up.
I don't like him as much in PPR as I do in standard, I don't think. But third, fourth is a good place for him.
Let me tell you.
Wishy-washy on it.
The simple fact that he was able to average 10.4 fantasy points per game last season while Jordy Nelson had the year that he did is a positive. I think it's a humongous positive. Does that have a lot to do with Aaron Rodgers? Of course it has a lot to do with Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know how much of a regression there will be for him. I still think he's going to be a big red zone threat. I still think he can have some big plays. I still like the fact that he's going to get a lot of targets on the outside. And if for any reason Jordy Nelson starts to decline because of age or injury, as long as Jordy's still out there as a threat to other defenses, I think Davante Adams can benefit. And now you're adding Martellus Bennett into the mix, and I don't think Martellus is going to take much away. Tight ends have always played a role in this Green Bay offense, but I don't think it's to the point where it's going to hurt Jordy and or Davante. He's never going to be in that group of receivers that will feel very confident taking with a top 20 pick. But once those guys are gone, there's reason to go after Davante Adams. And I think you can feel good about him as a potential 1,000-yard, 8-touchdown type of receiver. Hmm. And he's got some upside from there.
Yeah, he was 1,012 last year. He was 997 yards.
I don't want to tell people to go with 12 again this year.
Yeah, so that's kind of what concerns me because he was touchdown dependent to a degree. I mean, he doesn't catch a lot of his targets, and let me see. Oh, 10 games out of 16 last year with 50 or fewer yards. That's kind of nutty. Now, three of them were in the first three games of the season. He kind of came on strong late, but a lot of big time games, then a lot of low low yardage games, he managed to fall in the end zone or get in the end zone. Davante Adams did have 20 red zone targets. That was the seventh most in the NFL, according to ProFootballReference.com. He had 10 targets inside the 10-yard line, the sixth most in the NFL. Jordy Nelson, by the way, was number one in both categories. So, if just to sum it up, are you comfortable taking Davante Adams around 30th overall?
Yes. Just before I get to Jarvis Landry and to Terrell Pryor, right in that same tier with those guys.
Let me add one more thing. And yes, I would take, I'd take Davante Adams closer to 25 than 30. Let me add one more thing. Part of the reason why he had 12 touchdowns last year was because the Packers couldn't run the ball worth a darn. If that problem is solved, obviously it's going to hurt Davante Adams and he'll be a bust, and the emailer from Pittsburgh is going to be dead on. But I'm not convinced they've solved the problem. They threw a lot of draft picks at the problem. They kept Ty Montgomery at running back. That was obvious. I don't know. This is what training camp's for in the preseason. If they develop a run game, it's bad news bears for Davante. But if they don't, aha! nine, 10 touchdowns for him? I think it can happen. And I think he can expand on the yardage a little bit too.
You know what's kind of funny is, Ty Montgomery ran for almost 6 yards per carry last year.
Yeah. He just didn't get a lot of carries.
Right. But we talk, and I do too, about how the Packers had really had a hard time running the ball last year. Was there just a difficulty in giving the ball to Ty Montgomery?
Because
once he had it, things went extremely well.
Well, Aaron Rodgers has set a career high in pass attempts 2 years in a row. He threw over 600 passes last year. That's never really been who they are, but maybe it should be. He's that good, obviously. But you know, it'll be interesting. People will struggle a little bit to take him. Would you rather take Devontae, or they'll take him confidently? There will be a divide on Davante Adams. Would you rather have Davante Adams or Sammy Watkins?
Watkins.
I've got Adams higher. He might play far more games than Sammy.
Davante Adams or Demaryius Thomas, PPR and standard?
Demaryius in both.
Davante in both.
Mm, okay.
Ah.
All right. All right. Thank you, James from Pittsburgh, Kansas. Andrew. Wow, I called him James. Andrew from Pittsburgh, Kansas. Wow. I am sorry. I care about the listeners. I really do. Can I get a retweet, by the way, guys, on my Twitter poll? You are crushing me so far. 74% saying yes, you should get points if your wide receiver returns a punt or a kickoff for a touchdown.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised it's that lopsided. All right. More news and notes for you. LA Clippers or LA Chargers wide receiver? Not sure which one. Mike Williams. He has a mild disc herniation. I had never heard that term before, in his lower back. And Williams is not guaranteed to be ready for training camp. How spooky.
You know what that is? What a mild disc herniation is?
I've had one.
I have several of them.
I just heard it as a herniated disc, never a mild disc herniation.
Well, it's the exact same thing. You know how you have these little discs in your back around your spine to protect your spine? Sometimes they can like break open. And they like kind of ooze out. Yeah. But this is how it's been described to me. And they can get rounded back into place and conform to your spine again. But there's always the potential for it to ooze and get worse.
Great.
It's not a good injury for a football player to have. The fact that it's mild is good, but he could hurt it again if he doesn't take care of himself. It's not enough to make me want to like never draft Mike Williams ever, but it's not great. Not great. You definitely don't want to mess with your discs in your back.
It's good news for Tyrell Williams, at least for this year, I think, because he's missing some really important time getting on the same page as Phillip Rivers, and Rivers already has a connection with Tyrell Williams. So I, right after the draft, thought that I would rather have Mike Williams than Tyrell this year. I would rather have Tyrell now. I will call him.
Mike Williams or Randall Cobb?
Cobb.
I believe I have Cobb ahead of Williams right now.
You do.
But I've got Tyrell ahead of both. And I've always been on the Tyrell bandwagon. I think he's a good receiver with a great quarterback on a team that will have a very good offense this year.
All right, wonderful. Dennis Pitta may have suffered a career-ending hip injury. And that stinks, obviously, and we feel bad for Dennis Pitta. But, you know, in terms of fantasy, this was the number 15 tight end in standard. He didn't score a lot of touchdowns, he only scored two. But he was number 9 in PPR, And I really think it's just interesting. Like, Steve Smith is gone, and now 119 targets to Dennis Pitta are gone. He had 86 catches, 729 yards, and two touchdowns. And 119 targets, 13 red zone targets led the team, and still he only scored two touchdowns. But either way, I mean, are you more excited now about Heat's guy, Mike Wallace, Rashad Perryman? It's the receiving unit is so different now if Pitt is out.
But they have a ton of tight ends.
Yeah.
Like, this is the one thing that was perplexing about Baltimore when they signed Ben Watson last year before Watson hurt himself and missed the whole season, is that they're so deep at tight end. They've got so many guys. And the problem is none of these guys are going to be great for fantasy. I don't think anybody is going to expect anyone from Benjamin Watson to Max Williams to Crockett Gilmore to step up and fully replace Dennis Pitta and put up a ton of catches like Pitta did last year. I almost think it's a lost cause, but those three will make up Pitta's spot. And tight ends will play a role in this offense. They absolutely need them to help block with the offensive line going through some changes. And there'll be some good short area targets for Flacco throughout the season. But if Pitta had 112 targets and only scored twice, how big of a deal is it at tight end
for
Baltimore? So for fantasy, I almost think it's a non-starter with those guys. And it makes the spotlight maybe a little bit bigger for Perryman and Wallace, but not enough to make me excited.
Here's the thing that becomes a bigger deal to me, and I'm just doing some math here in my head. But Dennis Pitta, 121. Steve Smith, 101. Kamara Aiken, 50. Kyle Juszczyk, 49. They've got over 300 targets from last year's team gone. They've added Danny Woodhead. I don't think he's getting all of those.
Awesome if he did.
It would be really good. I do think this helps him a little bit.
130 catches for Danny Woodhead.
Yeah, but there's they've got to throw the ball to somebody.
Yeah.
So
Perryman. Give me Perryman.
I think Perryman gets over 100 targets. He had 66 last year. That's making up 10% of the missed targets.
But you'd rather have Mike Wallace, right?
I would rather have Wallace, but I think both are fine mid-draft values.
Okay.
The Perryman hype train is really going to start once people see it in highlight from training camp.
He was awful last year. Much worse than Mike Wallace.
He also didn't have nearly as many opportunities as Mike Wallace.
Right, but he only caught half of his targets. He needs to be good, but the opportunity for those guys, they may get 150 targets each.
You obviously didn't hear my completely useless stat about Rashad Perryman, which is that he averaged, let me see, I have it here somewhere. I think he scored like 1.4. He scored 1.4 fantasy points per target. Excuse me. Rashad Perryman scored 1.4 fantasy points per target in his last 9 games of the season. Okay? That is amazing. Jordy Nelson averaged 1.33 fantasy points per target. So there was a lot of production there. Of course, it's really a useless stat. It was mostly because of touchdowns, but he just didn't really get that many opportunities. And when he did, he sort of made the most of it, Rashad Perryman. And he averaged 15.1 yards per catch. So with that yards per catch, I guess I'm not surprised that the catch rate is kind of low. But yeah, hopefully it will improve. Okay, Baltimore passing game. We have spent a lot of time on that. All right, we're going to run through the rest of the notes, then we're going to talk about the Lions schedule, and then we're going to spend a lot of time on emails here. So Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay's wide receiver, rookie wide receiver. He's been good in OTAs. Real quick, Dave, is Chris Godwin on your radar?
Not really. I know that there's been lots of hype around him, and I've heard some good things about him already from friends of mine. I think it's good for Jameis, who I'm going to continue to draft and draft and draft. I'm going to have a lot of Jameis Winston this year. That's a team with no run game, lots of passing options, and you're adding another one in Godwin. Might be a good bye week receiver in deeper leagues. I don't think he's going to overtake Deshaun or Mike Evans. I'm going to say Mike Evans has a better year than Chris Phineas Godwin.
All right, Carolina cornerback James Bradbury broke his wrist. He's expected to be ready for the start of training camp. Dolphins second-year wide receiver Leonte Carew is not guaranteed a roster spot. Looks like that could be a bad NFL draft pick. Ron Rivera said the Panthers could have used Devin Funchess better last year, so that's a story that we could track as we get toward training camp. Are they going to use Devin Funchess more? The 49ers signed Elvis Dumervil. to be a pass rusher, helped them a little bit on defense. He only played 8 games last year for the Ravens. Doomerville had an Achilles injury last year. Rams head coach Sean McVay said Jared Goff is their guy. In Houston, Tom Savage is getting the majority of first-team reps. And now let's look at Amir Abdullah specifically, and really the Lions in general, and just the beginning of their schedule, because now we got this bad news for them. Their left tackle, Taylor Decker, who was the 16th overall pick in the 2016 NFL draft, and as a rookie, he played every snap, very encouraged by what they had seen from Taylor Decker. Well, he's going to have shoulder surgery. He's out indefinitely. And the way, you know, Jim Caldwell was talking was like, well, we don't think he's going to be out for the year. But he didn't say anything like he's going to be back for training camp. So there's definitely, I guess you could say, pupless possibility here for your left tackle in Detroit, Taylor Decker. Now, the schedule is very difficult, Dave. Do you have it in front of you? I'm sorry. I had it.
I do.
Okay. Give me the, like, the up to the bye for Detroit.
All right. They start the year against the Cardinals at home. Mm-hmm. And then they're at the Giants, then the Falcons at home, then they're at the Vikings, then the Panthers at home. And then they're taking on the Saints in New Orleans in week 6, and New Orleans is coming off of a bye. Those are the first 6 games for Amir Abdullah and your Detroit Lions.
So Arizona lost Calais Campbell. The Giants lost Jonathan Hankins. But do you, I still expect them to have good defenses, run defenses.
Yes. Yeah.
Atlanta last year gave up 4.5 yards per carry, but they got better. That's week 3 for the Lions. No running back in the postseason rushed for more than 34 yards or had more than 11 carries against Atlanta. And then at Minnesota, they got worse as the year went on last year. The Panthers had the number 6 rush defense in the NFL last year. And then I don't really care that the Saints are coming off a bye. I mean, the Saints are always good for fantasy, and especially if Nick Fairley's not playing. We wish him the best. And then a bye week. So, I don't know. I guess the question is, like, how much does this matter to you that the Lions have a brutal schedule their first 6-7 weeks and then a bye? And second question would be for Abdullah. Like, could he theoretically do enough in the passing game to make up for maybe a lack of yards per carry?
His work in the passing game, to be clear, I don't know if there is a running back in my top 30 or 35 that I'm less certain about where I should rank than Amir Abdullah, because I can envision this situation where he stays healthy for 16 games and doesn't fumble the ball every 3 times he touches it, and they actually give him more than 10 touches a game and he's a star. Because I think he's really good. But there's a lot of questions, and these are just more questions. The health of the offensive line, the difficulty of the schedule. I don't know what to expect his volume to be. 10 to 12 carries a game, and then you talk about the passing game. The one thing the Lions have, for sure, is another pass-catching back in Theo Riddick.
Yeah.
And they're not just going to not throw him the ball. Well, how many targets are they going to throw to their running backs this year? Mm-hmm. So he's a low-end number 2 running back, but I don't feel comfortable. I could rank him anywhere from 20 to and have anywhere from 20 to 30 and not feel good about it.
You know how I feel about Eddie Lacy, right?
Not good.
No, I don't.
I've got him one spot ahead of Amir Abdullah.
Mm.
Because no matter what schedule you put in front of the Detroit Lions, I know that they're not going to give Amir Abdullah 15 touches game after game after game after game after game. It's just, I don't think it's in their, not just their best interest, but I just don't think they want to do that. I think they want to have multiple running backs. I don't know how many touchdowns Amir Abdullah is going to get. I might put the ceiling at 5. I don't know how many 100 total yard games he's going to have. I might put the ceiling for that at 5. And Heath said Theo Riddick's going to play a role. As much as we don't like that Theo Riddick is going to play a role, he's going to play a role. And darn it, he's good at catching the ball. And maybe Zach Zenner ends up working the goal line. Maybe it's somebody else who comes in along the way. They were sniffing around LeGarrette Blount for crying out loud. That can't be a good thing.
But they didn't do anything. They didn't draft a running back. They didn't sign LeGarrette Blount. Like, he is clearly, Amir Abdullah is clearly their best running back. Like, yes, do they want to get other running backs involved? Sure. Theo Riddick is their passing downs guy. Theo Riddick showed he's not good enough to be their running downs guy. Like, Abdullah is their guy. He's got to be.
Right. But he might be their guy on running downs. It doesn't mean he's going to be their running guy at the goal line. It doesn't mean he's going to be the clock killer at the end of games. I just don't know how many times he's going to get you that big workload. And then you throw the schedule on top of it, and I think it's tough. Like, where they play Cleveland later in the year. They play Chicago twice. They play Baltimore. Where are those matchups? Why aren't they in the early part of the schedule?
They're at the end of the year.
Yeah. So maybe if Amir Abdullah is around at that point, if he hasn't fumbled his way into the doghouse or gotten hurt, maybe that's when we'll feel a lot better about Amir Abdullah. But I don't know. I don't want him on my fantasy team.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to get into the emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Thank you for your patience, everybody. If you're looking for tickets, check out SeatGeek. If you're looking for $20, I'm always looking for $20. Once again, check out SeatGeek with our promo code FFT. You get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So what is SeatGeek? It is the easiest way to buy and sell tickets. Instead of you searching multiple sites trying to find the best deal, you search SeatGeek, and SeatGeek does the work and the price comparison for you. So you're going to see the best values, and then you buy your tickets. Pretty simple, right? Trust me, I use SeatGeek every time I need tickets. It's just easier. Every purchase you make on SeatGeek's fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. Look, you want to go to Game 3 of the NBA Finals and see a blowout? Use SeatGeek. You want to go to a comedy show? You want to go to a concert, theater? Use SeatGeek. And the best part, of course, is that our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code FFT. That's promo code FFT, as in fantasy football today, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Threw a little dig at the NBA in there. I hope you heard that, Heath.
I didn't. No, I did not.
You heard it. Yep. Yeah. 407 votes in so far. 75% say yes, you should get points for the return touchdown.
I've got my finger on the pulse of America.
Apparently you do. I also said on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast and on Twitter, and I just want to say it again because I feel so confident in it, that NHL announcer Doc Emrick is the greatest play-by-play announcer in the history of sports.
Speaking of the greatest in the history of, Dave, did you hear that Adam and Jamie's fantasy baseball team is 18-0?
Yes, I've heard.
Okay. Do you remember when the Patriots went 18-0?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, good. I know. Look, we're going to lose eventually, right? I might as well brag about it before we lose. I jinxed it.
Why don't you do it right after this podcast ends? What if somebody's listening who hasn't won a fantasy baseball game yet this year? They're sitting at home going, gee whiz, I listen to these guys every week for the best football advice they can possibly give. And you know what? All they do is brag about how great they are and what kind of fancy cars they drive.
Oh, yeah.
And how awesome their fantasy team is and blah, blah, blah. And then they don't listen anymore. And then people get fired at them.
I have to brag about something, Dave. I don't have a car.
Aren't you about to get married?
Yeah.
You already bragged about the tastings.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Why don't you brag about how great of a fantasy football host you are? Because you are that.
Oh, well, thank you, Dave.
Yeah. Right now you suck.
Thanks for your patience and waiting for the emails.
Yeah, thank you for your patience. Here we go. Robbie from a lakeside town in New Hampshire.
Azerville.
Yeah, it's my favorite town. Great town. Hey, Mike, Rex, Dion, and James.
Patriots running backs.
Mm-hmm. There is a guy in my league who employs the Azer strategy, but it's the Azer strategy on steroids, HGH, or whatever PED you prefer. Year after year, he targets Patriots in the drafts. Not just one or two. But like a whole lineup worth of New England Patriots. He'll draft Brady, Gronk, Edelman, Lewis, White, etc. On the surface, this appears not to make any sense and seems silly, but he repeatedly finishes in the top four of the league year after year. Brady always scores well, and the rest are hit or miss, but when the Patriots go off, he is unstoppable. What are your thoughts on this?
Interesting.
If I'm trying to think about it this year, so let's just say, hypothetically, you could use your first round pick on whatever great player you want. And then you take Gronk in the second, and Cooks in the third, and Brady in the fourth, and Gillisley in the fifth. Or no, you'd have to take Edelman probably in the fourth, and then Brady in the fifth, Gillisley in the sixth.
Is Brady making it to the fifth?
No.
Well, you're going to have to be in like an experts league or something where they don't take quarterbacks early.
What the heck do I do in week nine?
I think you
take a loss. Take your loss.
You could take Brady in the third, and Cooks in the fourth, and Edelman in the fifth.
Cooks is not making it to the fourth, unfortunately. He should, but he's going at the end of the second right now.
Wow.
In a lot of the drafts that I'm in.
In every draft that we've done, he does not go in the third round. He goes after, I think.
I think you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think I'm right.
Pretty sure you should do a Twitter poll.
I also think that he'll be one of the overdrafted receivers this year.
Oh, for sure. Unless he's going in the fourth. You know, that seems right.
Just because we know that there aren't so many bona fide rock star receivers.
Well, the draft we did in May after the NFL draft, he went in the fourth round, Brandon Cooks.
Hmm. That's a fine value.
Standard scoring. All right, what do you think? What do you think, guys? Load up on Pats.
Listen, I don't even like strategies that tell you to take one position in a certain place. You think I'm going to like a strategy that tells you to take an entire team? Yeah, it's probably going to work because they're going to score more points than everybody else, and they're going to walk through the AFC. Don't do it if they have a Week 17 championship because they won't be playing.
Okay. Next email is from Travis from the Jersey Shore. Heard the rumor that Adam might read emails for once. What is your best guess for average number of touches per game for Marshawn Lynch? And what number of touches per game would make you feel comfortable taking Lynch in the third round?
A lot more than he's going to get.
Heath and I actually had a talk about Marshawn this morning. And I think it would be very wise for the Raiders to monitor his reps. And they obviously are during OTAs. Like, he's stressed for practice and then not even doing anything at practice. It would make sense for them to monitor his reps through at least the first half of the season. And then maybe after their week 10 bye, they've got that game against New England in Mexico and then Denver and the Giants at home and then at Kansas City, Dallas at home. That's a stretch where they could really use a great running back. And if Marshawn is fine at that point, maybe that's when they start to kind of loosen the strap on him and they let him get 15 to 18 carries per game. I don't think he'll play a lot of third downs at all. I think he's going to be a focal point in home games more than anywhere else. Like, I think they're going to want him to play more.
Are you suggesting this is somewhat of a marketing ploy?
I think it is a little bit.
Okay. Yes, I think it is too.
So look, what do I think his carries on average are going to be? I'm going to put it at 14.
I was going to say 12 and a half. So I don't see, like, when you think about all the possible outcomes with Marshawn Lynch, them giving him 16, 17, 18 carries a game, him staying healthy and being good at his age.
That's not coming till
November. That's one of the least likely outcomes. So it would make a lot of sense. I think it'll be a three-headed monster at running back. I am not going to have any Marshawn Lynch on my teams this year because I think the fourth round is too early for him.
Well, if he had 13 carries a game over 16 games, that would be 208 carries. I think that would be something like close to 20th based on last year's numbers. That would have been fewer than Matt Forte and Jonathan Stewart. He would need a lot of touchdowns to be worth a third-round pick. Now, if he scores like 8 touchdowns and gets 208 carries, he's probably going to finish as a top 24 running back. I'd be surprised if anybody scored. Would you be surprised if anybody scored 8 touchdowns and didn't finish in the top 24?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. No, like Jeremy Hill scored 9. Jonathan Stewart scored 9. Ryan Matthews scored 8. Really? Am I looking at the right thing here? Wow.
Yeah, that's right. But they didn't finish in the top 24?
No, I don't think so. No. I'm doing this like I'm just looking at the page right now. I can try to dig a little bit deeper. Third round, a lot of people are going to really, really like Marshawn Lynch, and I don't think this podcast is going to be on that bandwagon.
I just wrote about it today, and no, I will not have any Marshawn Lynch on my teams. It makes a lot more sense to me to draft Jalen Richard or...
Well, you like those values better.
Yeah.
Right, you like those values better. I think there's room for Marshawn in round 5.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to make it there in a lot of leagues, but I think if he's there in round 5 and you get him to be your number 2 running back, why not?
Let's go to Brett in Gilbert, Arizona. Hey, Jake, Brock, Danny, and Rudy. Think Arizona football. I think these are Sun Devils, right?
Yeah, Jake and Brock are for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So, league is half-point PPR. We get to keep 2 players each year for a 25% or $5 increase in their salary, whichever is greater, $250 budget. David Johnson is my first keeper at $11.
Winner.
Yes, but my decision comes to Michael Thomas and Ezekiel Elliott. Michael Thomas for $10 or Ezekiel Elliott for $76.
PBR.
Michael Thomas, Heath?
You can go and rebid on Zeke. or, you know, another great running back. Doesn't have to be Zeke. Doesn't have to be David Johnson. You might be able to get Melvin Gordon or Jordan Howard or LeSean McCoy at less than the 61 you got Zeke for last year.
All right. Michael Thomas it is.
Yeah, Thomas is. And look at that. And after all, you do have David Johnson already.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got one of the best running backs in fantasy, one of the best receivers in fantasy, and you still have $229 to spend on your team. I'd say you're in pretty good shape, sir.
Brett from St. Louis, Missouri. Dear George H.W., George W., and Harry.
Those are presidents.
Sure are. Quarterback depth is underwhelming. Oh, it's overwhelming. Yeah, that's a different question. Quarterback depth is overwhelming. Is this the year to not draft a quarterback, but rather plug and play quarterbacks off the waiver wire based on matchup?
I think you should draft one, for sure. But I was looking at this, and I'm not doing any type of projections, but I was just trying to look at how many points I expect these guys to score or not. And what I came up with, there's like a point to a point and a half difference per week between the number 6 quarterback and the number 16 quarterback this year, and what I'm expecting. And that's between Russell Wilson and Eli. I think, like, if you want to take Brady or Rodgers in the 4th round if they fall, sure.
4th?
What? Maybe in our leagues they'll make it to the 4th round.
Right.
But in a lot of other people's leagues,
then don't take them.
Round 2.
Then don't take them.
3rd round for me. I'll take him in the 3rd.
I might consider them in the 3rd if I really just hate everybody else who's left. But yes, if you've been waiting to try the streaming quarterback strategy, this is the year to do it. No doubt in my mind. And this is also another year in what's been like 5-6 years in a row where you can just wait on a quarterback, find one in round 7, 8, 9 or later, could even be round 12, and you begin the season with them. And if they do great, you find your quarterback, and if not, you opt for streaming. But you still try and target a good bargain later rather than say, all right, I'm just going to be in the year stream city, and I'm going to find a quarterback who, you know, has a good week one. I'm going to start Carson Palmer, who's got Detroit in week one, Indy in week two, Dallas in week three, San Fran in week four. That's a pretty good start, Palmer right there.
Okay,
maybe that's your guy if you decide to go streaming. You just wait till around 200 and you take Palmer.
All right, but like you say, this is the year.
Every year's the year.
Every year's the year.
This year more than the past.
There are more good quarterbacks this
there
year
really
than
are.
There were last year. I agree with that.
Well, Matt Ryan was like not even a, well, I guess he's an exception. This is just what I want to say to finish this topic. I've kind of changed my tune a little bit. Like, I do think that once you get past the top 4 or 5, it makes sense to wait. Whether or not you include Matt Ryan in that group, or is he 6 or is he 5?
He's like 9.
I think he's 5.
Oh, all right. Well, all right. You've got Rodgers, you've got Brady, you've got Breeze, Luck. Who am I forgetting? In the elites.
That's it.
That's it. So if you want to include Ryan in
Ryan's
that.
Ryan's not in their group, though.
Well, some people think he is.
Okay. Who is?
Nobody.
Who's your 5th quarterback?
I'd rather have Russell Wilson than Matt Ryan.
Okay, fair.
He just had his best year ever throwing his fewest amount of passes. He's going to not be as good as he was last year.
Fine. So my point is, when you get past those 4, you know, then I think it makes sense to wait. But I'm going to probably put more value on at least Rodgers and Brady this year. And I just feel like every year, I said this, I think, on our last show, it's, you know, when we grade trades late in the year and somebody's giving up Doug Baldwin to get Aaron Rodgers, I think by the end of the year, we think it's a good pick. But at the beginning of the year, we say no. I don't really buy that. I feel like at the end of the year, we realize just how valuable those stud quarterbacks are. And maybe we've gone a little bit too far in downgrading them. But people used to be taking them in the 1st round. Like, that was crazy. And then, you know, our podcast was like, do not ever draft a quarterback in the 1st round. And we stand by that. But at this point, I think in the 3rd round, I'm looking at those guys for sure. The end.
Sure. No, I understand your rant, and I think there's validity to it. But there should be something said for value at comparative positions, and you're going to get to a point in the draft where you're not going to like anything that's left at receiver and running back. Those positions are going to dry up fairly quickly, And that's when you go after Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And it could be round three. I don't think round three is that bad.
Round three in a 12-team league. I'd be looking closer.
Even round two in a non-PPR.
I'm going to keep pushing.
Maybe.
Four.
Right, but by saying round four, that just means that you're just not – you have no intention of drafting those guys.
No, I've drafted Tom Brady plenty so far this year.
He's fallen to round four in our drafts.
Right.
Most people don't play in leagues with, you know, a bunch of CBS employees.
Like even in NFL 10s, he falls to the four or five quite often.
There's no denying the value, round three or round four. And that's all I'm saying. For anything you do at quarterback, you have to feel like you're getting a good deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's a steal. It's a steal. That's how it has to feel.
Okay, let's move on to our next email then at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Tennessee Roberts.
I'm going to be in Tennessee next week. Maybe Tennessee Roberts wants to come have some whiskey.
Tweet him, at Heath Cummings SR. I'm the commission of a 16-team half point per reception IDP keeper league. I am of the mindset to eliminate the kicker position. However, I believe a compromise can occur in deep leagues such as mine. The solution is to make the kicker eligible only as a flex play. What do you think about that?
I think it's better than requiring a kicker. I would still rather kickers not exist.
On what planet would you ever start a kicker in your flex?
Well,
what's the ceiling for a kicker in
it's
fantasy?
It's a 16-team league. I don't know how many flexes they have, but in a 16-team league with two or three flexes, you may on a bye week have the choice between starting somebody like Kobe Fleener or Adam Vinatieri. I'd rather start Adam Vinatieri than Kobe Fleener.
I also don't know what the scoring is for kicking in Tennessee Roberts League. You know, do you get 5 points for a 50-yard field goal? Do you get 3 points for every field goal, no matter the distance? Do you lose points if they miss a field goal? That stuff matters. But in most leagues, a good week for a kicker is like 9 points.
Okay, last year in our standard scoring format, like Adam Vinatieri was like the number 7 kicker. He scored 132 points. That would have made him equivalent to Jonathan Stewart. A little bit worse than Jeremy Hill. Better than Bilal Powell, but obviously, you know, that was on a game-by-game basis. So that's relevant. I mean, that's a flex for sure, especially in a 16-team league. I think I like it. It's kind of a cool little compromise.
I like different things. I like it much better than having kickers as a mandatory position.
This is from Matthew. I was wondering if you could talk about things you look for in streaming kickers and defenses. Anything other than opponent and weather. What do you think? What do you look for when you stream kickers and defenses?
Opponent and weather.
Yeah,
mostly.
That's a good one.
Like,
those are two good.
That's the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Later in the year, I'm going to err on the side of caution and go with indoor kickers when I can. And
always.
Matthew says maybe sacks allowed or turnovers forced. If you're like looking to stream, yes, sacks allowed. Like last year, the Browns gave up so many sacks. Not only were they like just awful, but you knew that you were going to get a lot of points just in sacks. So sacks allowed when you're streaming DSTs is a good one to look for.
Doesn't that fall under opponent?
Well, the other one is who is playing Blake Bortles.
Yep, that helps. Sean from West Hartford, Connecticut. Dear Marshall, Rubble, and Chase. Well, that's the Paw Patrol. I have recently bought from other owners LeGarrette Blount for 12 and Gillisley for 20 in a 100-point keeper auction standard scoring league. So he took LeGarrette Blount for 12 and Gillisley for 20 out of 100 points or dollars in standard scoring. With guys like Bell being kept for 36, Zeke for 40, David Johnson for 50, how do you feel about C.J. Anderson for $10 or 10 points? That would be a fourth of the price of Zeke. It would be the same as LeGarrette Blount and Gillisley, basically. C.J. Anderson for 10. Do you think that's fair?
I think you overpaid for Blount. Kind of under... Well, you probably overpaid for Gillisley, too. But if that's sort of kind of what the going rate is for lead backs, then C.J. Anderson is worth 10.
Yeah, I like C.J. Anderson for 10 foot just fine.
All right. Next email, Andrew from the Jersey Shore. Every year there seems to be a quarterback taken past the 12th round... And I think he means past the 12th quarterback overall, who ends up around the top five. Who is it this year out of this group? Rivers, Stafford, Eli, Dalton. Rivers, Stafford, Eli, Dalton. Who's got the best chance to be top five?
I'm going to say Eli, then Dalton. Rivers is in that list, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eli, Rivers, Dalton.
I kind of like Stafford too. That's the group of guys that have the opportunity to get it. And I would draft those guys over some of the younger quarterbacks that are going to get drafted earlier. I'd say Stafford and Rivers are my two favorite.
You draft them over Winston and Mariota?
No,
not those young quarterbacks.
Prescott and Wentz.
Ooh. Oh, you're thinking Prescott takes a big dive, huh?
He doesn't have to take a big dive. He just has to, his rushing production has to come back to earth just a little bit. And we'll argue about this a lot, I'm sure, this preseason. I'm not trying to say that Dak Prescott is bad or that he was a fluke or anything like that. I just think they want to run the ball like 400 times a game. And if he doesn't score 4, 5, 6 rushing touchdowns, he's not a number one quarterback.
I'm going to tell you, feel pretty comfortable in saying this. Dak Prescott will be exactly the number 8 quarterback in fantasy last year.
Last year? You're telling me what he will be last year?
Next year. Wow. That's basically Tony Romo every year. So he'll just be Tony Romo.
Yeah, I think he's very good and perfect for the situation that they have there. I don't know that you can count on that rushing production when you've got Ezekiel Elliott. If he doesn't run for 6 touchdowns, he's not a number one quarterback.
He only ran for 282 yards, though. It's not like
he ran 6 touchdowns. Those are worth a lot more than quarterback rushing touchdowns make a bigger impact than quarterback rushing yards.
I don't think he'll get to 6, but I don't think he's going to go to 0.
No, 3 I think sounds fair.
3 is a minimum.
Okay.
3's not a minimum.
3 is the minimum.
he could have 150 more rushing yards, though. Like, that would be significant.
I'd be more surprised at him having that than him having fewer than 3.
So that's the maximum. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Jameis Winston, who had 6 his rookie year. We probably would have said 3 was the minimum last year. He had 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they're a little fluky. They're a little hard to predict for sure. Okay. This is from Rob. Where's Rob from?
Rob is from New Milford, Connecticut.
Dear Alec, Jonathan, and Billy.
Billy.
Those are Baldwins. And bold prediction for 2017. Brandon Marshall will become a favorite red zone target and a touchdown vulture. Beckham will not like this one bit, will cause weekly turmoil in the locker room and with the media.
Depends on if the Giants are winning or losing. If the Giants are losing and that's happening, I could see it happening.
Bold prediction, Brandon Marshall is going to be in Heath's bust column.
Well, I'm not sure if I agree with that. I think last year his numbers sucked because his situation sucked. And he tweaked his knee last year. I think he's a great fit for what the Giants need as far as taking coverage away from Odell Beckham on the other side of the field. The question is, does that make him a good fantasy receiver?
Right. I think he's perfect. Like, the Giants did very well to add him, and he is going to help their football team.
And I think he's a plus in the red zone.
He's going to see his targets dive.
He's going to be a touchdown or bust receiver.
Yeah.
IMO. That means in my opinion.
James Jones.
Would you rather have Tyrell Williams or Brandon Marshall?
They are right in the same range.
I got Marshall ahead of him for now. I've got Marshall uncomfortably high in my range. I'm not comfortable with where I have him.
Where did you have him?
I have him number 1. I've got him 22nd.
Ooh.
Got him 44th.
Ooh. Wow.
I might be a little too high. You might be way too low.
Got a few suggestions on how to say, you know, half PPR, half point PPR, whatever. Keenan from Orange, Texas says I should say HPPR. What do you think?
I liked it a lot the way we got in the email, half point per reception. Like, that is perfect.
It's so wordy, though.
Half point per reception.
Half PPR or half point per reception. You shouldn't say half point PPR because then you're saying half point
nice.
Per.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I like also 0.5 points per pass completed to that receiver.
And Waleed in Orland Park, Illinois says, okay, so first, Keenan says HPPR. Waleed says HPR. No, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like any of this.
Plus, how are we going to refer to Houston Public Relations?
So, how's your fantasy baseball team?
Well, should we go to another question? Okay, I get it. This is from Clinton. Dear Heath Ledger, Jack Nicholson, I screwed this up so bad. It said, Dear Ledger, Nicholson, and Lett. But I knew who he was referring to, so I said Heath Ledger, and whatever. Apparently, Lett is someone else who played the Joker.
Did I say you were a good fantasy football podcaster?
Today I'm not. Today I'm absolutely not. I have the 10th and the 12th pick in two separate PPR leagues. A common dilemma I have in the first and second rounds is deciding which wide receiver to select out of Jordy, Michael Thomas, and T.Y. Hilton. What are your thoughts?
I like his question at the very end. Does it even matter? Like, because those are three really good choices. I guess the issue is, are you planning on taking two receivers? Because I think Jordy's the least likely to come back to you.
I also think he's got the highest ceiling.
And
especially in PPR.
And I would say the lowest floor.
So take
I would take T.Y. I would take Jordy second. I would take Thomas third.
Okay.
Cool. Not me. I'd take Jordy first.
And who's second?
Ty Hilton.
All right, one more email here. Robert from one of the Hawaiian Islands says, hey, Morgan, Virgil, and Wyatt. Don't know.
Some of those are wrestling references. I'm not sure who the Morgan would be in wrestling.
Three-player keeper auction league, $200 budget, 14 teams, two flex, standard scoring. Pick two from this list. He's already keeping Zeke. Greg Olsen for $4. DeAndre Hopkins for $25. T.Y. Hilton for $30. Larry Fitzgerald for $8. Cousins for $5. Aaron Rodgers for $23. Why don't you go ahead and eliminate a couple, and then I'll read the remaining ones again.
Cousins for $5 should be eliminated.
Yep. And I'm eliminating DeAndre for $25. Because if I'm going to take a high-priced receiver, I'd rather have Hilton for $5 more.
Okay. That's I'm going to eliminate Larry Fitzgerald for $8 in a standard scoring league.
Okay. You're right.
So let's go now pick two of three. Greg Olsen for $4, T.Y. Hilton for $30, Aaron Rodgers for $23.
I'm going to go Hilton and Olsen. The Olsen for $4 when you've already spent $67 on Zeke and you're going to spend $30 on Hilton. I need to save some money on a starter.
Right.
That's a cheap top three tight end for me.
And you've got $99 left after doing that. You should be able to put together a nice team around that core. And you might even be able to get Aaron Rodgers back for a little less than 23. And if not, hey, there's always more quarterbacks in the sea.
You're not going to get him for less than 23 in a $200 league.
He got him, I assume, last year for the same price. And if you don't get him, you go and you get, you know what I'm saying.
You're going to get somebody like
You're going to get another good quarterback and you'll spend less.
You'll get somebody like Kirk Cousins for a dollar.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. What a fun show. Woo.
It was something.
It was.
Was something. All right, I'm going to take a look at Heath's feet now.
They are very dried out. They feel so good.
Describe them.
I'm never wearing shoes and socks on this podcast again.
It smells in here a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
Does he have gross?
Let me show them off. Let's see those.
They're probably hairy.
Wow. No, actually, I don't see any hair, but his second tallest toe on his left foot looks like one of Torrey Holt's fingers.
That is factual.
It is just like
also a
bent
little,
all the hell. What happened to you?
A little bit uncomfortable toe? Too. No, it just grew too much faster than the other one, so it had to turn. Because if I wore shoes that fit that toe, I'd have all kinds of room the rest of my foot.
I won't mention all the black funk you've got all over your big toe either.
Yeah, well.
That's a little strange.
There's some hair on there, too.
Yeah.
But, man.
I don't really see much hair.
Feels
I see plenty
good.
Of age. You've got some pretty big feet, man.
Yeah, those are size 15s.
Woo.
I've seen more of Heath than I've ever wanted to see in my life.
I don't know why feet bother people. Like, you can look at my hands and you're not grossed out, but you look at my feet and there's something different? No.
I guess.
I think it's more common for people to see hands than feet.
Yeah, I would say
in
so.
In the office workplace environment.
I need to get over it.
All right, everybody, draw us a picture of Heath's feet, post it on Twitter, and final tally. Let's see where we're at here. In the Twitter poll, it's a great ending to the show. We have how many votes? Just killing time. Goodbye, everyone. Oh, 720.
Oh, news if you want.
724 votes. Who cares about the news? 724 votes, 78% say yes, you should get return touchdown points. All right, Dave, news.
David Harris, cut by the Jets.
Oh, okay.
Longtime middle linebacker, a good run defender, gone, and I actually think that hurts the Jets' defense even more.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
I do not think the Jets are going to be very good this year.
We know that. Thank you for your patience, everybody. Thanks for your emails. We'll talk to you on Thursday. For Heath Cummings, Dave Richard, I'm Adam Azer. See ya.
Crooked Toes.